Offering is coming around. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Shortly after I arrived today, I was in the foyer and I heard this sound from the parking lot. And my first thought was, one of those hot rods has got a pretty cool horn. That was my first thought. But what it was a shofar. And I believe you were blowing the shofar this morning. Is that correct? There was a shofar blowing in the parking lot this morning. And it was a declaration, and I felt just like, this is just too cool, because the shofar is what the people of Israel used to have. It was their horn that was made out of a ram's horn, and they blew it to declare, God is with us. And that is what it is this morning. God is with us. We are continuing in our process and talking about spiritual warfare today. And we're going to talk about how God continues to be with us in the midst of all that is going on around us. And this morning, I want to talk to you. If you are in the midst of a battle, it doesn't matter what kind of battle that is, but if you're in the midst of a battle in your life, before we even start this morning, I want to pray for you. So if that battle is physical, if it's emotional, if it's financial, if it's spiritual, if it's relational, whatever that battle is this morning, we're going to take that to the Lord before we even start to look at the scripture, because I want God's scripture to speak truth to us today and God to give us victory and power in our lives to understand God is with us in the midst of it all. All right? You with me on that today? Thank you, both of you. Okay, so this is good. So if you are in the middle of a battle and you say, yeah, Lord, I need victory right now in my life, as we pray, I just want you to lift up your hand right now. We're going to pray together. Father, we lift our hands before you because we are in battles in our lives. They are battles that have come against us in so many different ways. And Father, now we come against them in the name of Jesus. We know that you are with us. And when you are with us, nothing can overcome us. Nothing can destroy us. Because God, you are God and you are good. And we declare the goodness of God this morning. We declare the victory of God this morning. We declare the power of God this morning in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in each one of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It's good. It's good. God is good. And it's good to have you here this morning. We're going to continue to look today at spiritual warfare. Today, Pastor Joel contacted me and he said, I want you to preach on this Sunday. I says, great. He says, we're doing spiritual warfare. I said, great. He says, you got feet. I said, feet? I said, you get the cool stuff. You get the helmet, you get the breastplate, you get the sword, you get the shield, and I get feet. But that's okay, because you know what? The feet are pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And you're going to see this morning how cool that really is, how powerful that really is in our walk with God, and how God wants to work in our lives. Let me give you a little bit of background again, just to remind us of where we're at and what's going on before we get into the word itself and look at it. I do have a clock this morning. I've been told that I talk a little bit long sometimes. The clock doesn't shorten it. It just tells me exactly how long I've gone. So we'll just... It's there for me as I need it, as we're going through with it all. But the background of it is this. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians. He wrote it from a place in Rome where he was in prison in Rome. He had been imprisoned there because he had gone to Jerusalem before that. In Acts chapter 21, it tells 20 and 21, it tells us about this. Paul had gone to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit had prompted him to go to Jerusalem. Says, you need to go there to Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit also told them, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. So Paul told the people he was with, I'm going to Jerusalem. And they said, no, don't go, don't go. You're going to be arrested. And you know, they could even kill you and stone you and all the rest of you. Go and do that. Paul said, What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Why are you so upset? And he literally said in chapter 21, he said, why are you bringing me to tears? Why are you disturbing me so much with all of your concern and all of your upset? I would go to Jerusalem to be bound for Christ. I would go to Jerusalem to die for Christ if that's what God told me to do. I'm going to go and do what God told me to do. That's pretty cool if you ask me. Here's Paul saying, I'm going to go no matter what to Jerusalem. So he goes to Jerusalem and he gets arrested and he gets shipped to Rome and put in jail. So while he's in jail in Rome, he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. And we come up to Ephesians. Now we're in chapter 6. We're going to read through the portions of it in chapter 6. Actually, I'm going to start back in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have your iPads, you can push the buttons to get there. We'll start in verse 10. As we read this, I want you to note how many times you see the word stand. Okay? We're going to read through this and see how many times you see the word stand. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what this whole section is all about, as he's starting to talk about the spiritual armor. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. God is with us. The shofar blows. It declares God is with us. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Thank you, both of you. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Four times he says stand. One is to take a stand. The other three are to just stand. So the weapons of our warfare are to allow us to... Good. They are to allow us to stand against whatever is coming against us. So these weapons of warfare, as Paul is writing in prison in Rome, and a place where you don't want to be, in a place where he would not necessarily want to be, but he's there because God has told me I can be here, and I am at peace with being where I am, because I know that in the midst of all of this, I can stand firm in God no matter what is going on around me. Isn't that powerful? I can stand in the promise of God with everything that's going on around me. This morning we're talking about your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is cool. Your feet, the shoes he's talking about here. Let's take a look at these. Here's the shoes. There's the shoes. The word is caligae. That's the Latin word. It is Latin for ugly sandal, is what it is. But it is part of the Roman soldier's get up, everything that he wore. In fact, everything that's described in the armor of God here is a declaration of this is how in a way that the people were able to relate what they knew of the Roman soldiers, with the helmet, the breastplate, the sword, everything else. It was relating to them and helping them to understand what we have in God as they look at the Roman soldier. Now, this sandal was unique. Most sandals were fairly thin leather and were strapped on, sort of held in place if you were lucky, and away you went. The Roman soldier sandal was different. It was made out of a very thick leather. The reason for that was, as they would march into territories and they're going to fight against people, often the enemy would lay sharp objects in the road along the path, hoping that it would cut through thin sandals, damage the feet of the soldiers, because if a soldier's feet get damaged, he slows down a whole lot. And he becomes really ineffective in what he can do. But these sandals were a thick leather. They were strapped on fairly tightly to the foot so that they adhered to the foot and there was no give, there was no play. It's not like buying your $1.99 flip-flops down at the Kmart and you're drunk and you're kind of going like this everywhere you go. No, these things were strapped on to your foot, wrapped around your ankles, and they were actually laced up most of the way up the calf. And they were strapped on and they were tight. But not only were they tight, they had hobnails in the bottom. We often don't think of hobnailed boots or hobnailed sandals for the Roman soldiers, but they had these. These were the caligae. They had hobnails. What do hobnails do for you? Grip. You don't slide. You don't slide anywhere. They were able to go into battle. So as these soldiers had these caligae wrapped on them and strapped on them, as they were marching through the terrain of dirt and gravel and bits and pieces of all kinds of stuff and mud, there was something more that was there to walk with them. Have you ever tried to walk across mud with smooth-soled shoes? It's like standing on ice, right? And when you get to that point where you're standing on ice, you're down, and your sole concern at that point is to make sure you don't fall. You're trying to get there safely. Yeah, I'm coming to battle. Wait a minute, I'm coming. And the Roman soldiers couldn't afford to do that. They had hobnail shoes on. And so it didn't matter what was there. They could walk ahead. We're going ahead. And so Paul's saying, when you put these shoes on, they're there to give you a firm foundation for the fight that you're about to have. Not only is it a firm and solid foundation that you are to have, it talks also refers to the stance. The stance the Roman soldiers had for battle was caligile mortis. And that meant that they would stand in a place of strength to be able to fight the battle to the death if necessary. So it was, have your shoes, have your feet in place for the battle. Let's go. Come on. The battle's coming. And when the battle comes, I'm ready. I'm ready. Paul says that we are to shod our feet to prepare for battle. Then he goes on to talk about the gospel of peace. What did I give you next? Go ahead. The gospel of peace, the readiness for the gospel of peace. The word readiness there really means to be prepared, ready to go, have the in place the. It's something that has already been completed and is ready to use, is what it's what the meaning is there. Something that is already completed and ready to use. That's the readiness. So if you're building a boat, the boat is not in readiness until it is complete and ready to use. So you're to take your feet and to have them prepared in the stand that you take in readiness and ready to use the gospel of peace. Now there's two meanings, and there's two interpretations, I should say, of what the gospel of peace is. And it comes from different places and different times and for different reasons. The first one that we see most often and that most of us are familiar with, and this is the one I grew up with an understanding of, is that the readiness from the gospel of peace was that we need to be ready to declare the gospel in any situation, which is absolutely true. We do need to do that no matter what. There needs to be within each one of us an understanding that the gospel is what brings peace into our lives. The gospel, it brings peace between man and God. It brings strength between man and God. It gives to us victory in our lives because God is real within us. And we need to be able to declare that to people and have them understand that God is real and God loves them and God is with them and God is for them. That's why we make a declaration that says, God is with us. And it's something that we should get ready and should say to ourselves every morning, God is with me. That's not a prideful, boastful statement. That's a statement of strength that God wants us to have. God is with me today. Whatever I face, whatever I go through today, God is with me today. And I can go and face whatever comes, because the second and one that I think applies more properly for us in the definition of it is that it's God's peace he gives you in the confidence, that God's peace gives you confidence in the battle. Let's take a look at the context of the scripture as it's putting here. Everything from verse 10 on down talks about spiritual warfare. It's all about spiritual warfare. Every bit of it. Every piece of the armor is about the warfare. It's about you doing battle in spiritual battle. It's about you and the fight that you are going through. It's about you and the things that you're facing in your life because of what God gives you. And he gives you this armor so that you can do battle more effectively. So that you, when the enemy comes against you, you can be more effective. Now let me just clarify spiritual warfare just a little bit. Sometimes we think spiritual warfare is casting out demons. Okay, so, oh man, I got ready for some spiritual warfare because I'm casting out demons. I have to go talk to my boss, you know. And we get that mindset sometimes that spiritual warfare is only about that kind of thing. But let me tell you what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare is that thing that causes you stress when you and your spouse aren't getting along. There's spiritual warfare taking place. When you and you're at your job, you feel the weight of it all coming against you and all the problems that you're facing, and you're struggling and you're tired and you don't know what to do. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. When the doctor comes to you and says, you need to come back. The mammogram we just took has got an anomaly in it. We need to take another look. We need to do some more examinations there. And what you feel at that point in time, that's spiritual warfare. That's spiritual warfare. When your kids are wandering off and they're doing something you know they shouldn't, and they're not walking with God, and there's things going on in their lives, and you're just going stressing out, you don't know what to do for them. That's spiritual warfare. You and I are in spiritual warfare every day. We declare that we don't like spiritual warfare. We don't want to go through it a lot of the time. And being Canadians, we hate the word warfare. Right? We like the word peace. We don't like the word warfare. And it makes us uncomfortable when God talks about spiritual warfare. But God does talk about spiritual warfare. And it is a war. It is a war. And the enemy is out to destroy you and kill you and your family. It is a war. And you will not win that battle without doing battle in warfare, spiritual warfare. So we have this spiritual warfare going on. We have peace that God gives us. And he says, in the middle of that battle, you can have peace. Remember where Paul is when he writes this? He's in prison in Rome. This is not a vacation on the Italian coast. Okay. This is prison. Ceilings 4 to 6 feet tall. If you're lucky, they're 6 feet. Most of the time, they're 4 feet. They're black. They're dark. There is no light. There are no facilities. There's nothing there. What do you get fed? What you have to fight the rats for as they throw it into you. Paul, in the middle of that, says, fight spiritual warfare. And in the midst of that, God will give you peace and confidence in the middle of the battle. Peace and confidence in the middle of the battle. And he does that because he knows, and you know, what he has done for you in so many different ways. Because God has come along, and he's given to us an ability to go against those things that are tearing us down and that are pulling us back. There were times in Scripture when Peter and John went before the Sanhedrin and Paul before others, and they said, we don't care what you say to us. We will die. We will be tortured. We will die. Because we will not give up what we know is right before God. And you know what? God is good. God is good. And he will be with us. He will be with us. There's a story in the New Testament of Jesus, Mark chapter 4. Jesus and the disciples, that Jesus had been teaching on one side of the Sea of Galilee. And they got into the boat, and Jesus went up the bow of the boat. He was tired. And as they were going across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up. And Jesus was sound asleep, sleeping away as the storm went on. The scripture says that the disciples did everything they could, and these were fishermen. They knew how to, they'd been out in that lake all their lives, and they knew how to deal with that. But they were fighting, and those waves were coming over, and it was just rocking them back and forth, and they were just about to the point that they felt they were going to be swamped or overturned. And they went to Jesus, and they woke him up, and they said, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus stood up, and said three words. He looked at the storm and said, "Peace be still. Peace be still." And the storm stopped. And then he turned around to the disciples and he rebuked them. And he said, "What's the matter? Do you still have no faith?" What would their faith do? Faith was to deal with two things. There was faith involved in two areas there. One, they could have done what Jesus did if they had the faith. They would have stood up and said, "Peace be still," and the storm would have stopped. But the other part of faith is this. In the middle of the storm, God's still in control. God's fine. Jesus is sleeping through it. He doesn't have anything to worry. He's not worried about anything. But there's a peace that comes from knowing you have God working in your life. Do you really believe that God has done what he said he has done? Do you really believe that the power of God has overcome the evil of the enemy and the evil of Satan? Do you really believe that God is providing for you in your life a way to go through everything that you need? Psalm 23, "For I walk, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I'm going through the valley. I'm going through the valley. And in that valley, there's sometimes it's just, what am I going to do? Because the enemy comes along, and instead of giving you that firm foundation, he makes you feel like you're standing on banana peels and you're going like this, trying to keep your feet. Because what he does is if he can get you start to move, sliding a little bit, he hits you with something else. You ever found that out? He hits you with one thing. Oh, wham, you get hit with something else. And next thing you know, you're reeling. You don't know what's going on. And you're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you have no firm foundation. You have no understanding of what you're standing on. And you're getting knocked around all over the place because the enemy will do everything he can to knock you around and to knock you out. It is warfare. And he wants to destroy you. And we need to remember what Jesus has done, some of the things that he has done for us in our lives. Well, next slide, please. Next one. John 3, verse 8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." That one should have caused a tear somewhere along the line. The reason the Son of God appeared, the reason Jesus came, was to destroy the devil's work. Two of you got it. What's his work? His work is to destroy you, to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. It's declared in Scripture. Scripture's true. That's what he's doing, wants to do to you and to your family. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. So that if we believe that, when we feel those things coming around and we're starting to reel and get knocked around a little bit, we need to remember, God came to destroy what the devil's trying to do to destroy me. He cannot destroy me if I'm standing on the promises of the gospel of peace, which is that God is with me and he cannot knock me off. I will stand. I will stand because Jesus has destroyed the work of the devil. I will stand because the devil has no power against me. Ephesians 4:27, "Do not give the devil a foothold." As soon as we allow that fear and to rise up inside of us, you're giving the devil a foothold. Because once you start reeling, he goes in. I don't know if you've ever watched a boxing match, but they'll be sparring back and forth. One guy lands the punch and it knocks the other guy back a little bit. He goes in for the kill. He just starts pummeling him. Because he knows once he's off balance, once he's knocked off balance and starts to reel back a little bit, he's susceptible to greater damage. And the devil knows the same thing about you and me. He knows how to come against you to get you off balance. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Next slide, please. The devil came to destroy. Jesus came to destroy. He says, you, dear children, are from God. and have overcome them. Them are the powers of the darkness and the spirit of darkness of this world. That's the them he's talking about. Satan and his minions. Not the little yellow guys. You know what I mean, the minions, okay? Maybe they are too. I don't know. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There are times you got to declare that to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. You got to remind yourself of these things sometimes because you get going, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going on. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm wiped out. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Stop that and say, the greater is he who is in me than is in the world. This world can throw whatever it has against you, and it will, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ, who is in you, is greater than the one who is in the world. He is the one who is in you. He is for you. He is with you. And he is greater than anything the world has and can come against you with. And that's a good thing. A good thing. Yeah. Here's what Jesus said too in John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you. He's already given it to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is one of those verses that we read through and everybody goes, oh yes, praise God, amen, hallelujah, I know that one. Right? We all know that one. We've all heard that one. It's one of those common verses to us all, but it's time we get a hold of it. And it goes from here to here. Okay, it's got to drop. It's got to drop from here to here. It's got to drop from just knowing about it to go, tunk, okay, now I understand it. It's not just knowing that it's true. It's like knowing that it's true. And there's a huge difference between knowing and knowing that it's true. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's no except in there. Recognize that? It doesn't, do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid, except when you are frustrated. Except when your spouse is not treating you as they should. Except when your kids are bad. Except when that bill comes that you weren't expecting, you have no idea how you're going to pay. Except when the doctor gives you a bad report. Except when you lose your job. Except when you have a coworker that you're fighting with. Except, 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 except. There's no except there. And that's for a reason. Because God says, Jesus himself says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not. Do not. Do not be afraid. When you are afraid, you have no peace. Right? When you are afraid, you are overwhelmed by the fear. You have no peace. That's why Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. The first part of that, my peace I give you. It's the peace, the same peace that Jesus had. Same peace that Jesus had. Sitting in the boat. Sleeping. Storm raging all around him. Everybody else going, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. He's got peace, same peace. My peace, he says, I give you. You can have that peace. You can have that peace. That peace is there for you in your life because God, Jesus has said, it is there for you now for you to have. It is there for you to experience. And it's not peace that the world has. You know, some of the stuff you read about peace, you know, how to get peace and live a peaceful life, you know, you go into a dark room, you light some incense, you listen to some New Age music, and you sit cross-legged and hurt your back and all those sort of stuff, and you'll find peace. You won't find peace in your horrible scopes. You won't. You'll only find peace with Jesus, because Jesus' peace is not conditioned upon what's going on the outside. Jesus' peace is conditioned on what's going on the inside. And what's on the inside? Jesus. The power of God is within you. So his peace is available for us. The peace of Jesus is strong, abiding, and it's unaffected by outward circumstances. That's just too cool. What he has is abiding, and none of those things on the outside will change it. Can we go to the next one, please? God has for us a peace that goes beyond all of those things. Next slide. Back up one, sorry. We jump ahead? Okay. Four things about God's peace that we need to remember. First of all, it is a gift of God. He's already given it. You don't have to beg for God's peace. I had a conversation earlier this week with Guy, and we were talking on the phone about peace, and he was sharing some things with me about it. And he mentioned that a very true thing, that often we wait until we need peace, and then we go look for it. And that's not what it's all about. It's kind of like, well, do you remember the summer we had last year when we had summer? Okay. And we had the forest fire as well and all that sort of stuff. We won't talk about the forest fire. What, we had summer. There was all that heat and all that. There was no rain for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. We had that hot, we really had summer kind of thing. And so we had certain sets of clothes. I mean, for several weeks there, I didn't wear a pair of long pants. It was just like it didn't happen. I was in shorts almost that entire time for several weeks. But then the rains came along a little again. And again, when the rains come along, all of a sudden you have to go and find the stuff that you need for the rain. And when you go looking for the stuff you need for the rain, you go, where is it? I know it's here somewhere. Where's that long sleeve shirt? Where's my hat? Where's that rain jacket? I know it's here somewhere. I don't know where I put it, but you haven't used it for so long, and so you can't find it. And then you want to find it, and you want to put it on because you want it to protect you now because you're going out in the rain. We do the same thing with God's peace. We think everything's okay. We're going along. I don't need God's peace. I don't need God's peace. Everything's fine because I'm sort of living in peace. There's not a whole lot going on, you know. The relationship's okay. The kids are okay. The job, you know, it's okay. The doctor hasn't said anything nasty. I haven't seen him for 3 years, but he hasn't said anything nasty to me. And everything's going along just fine. And we think, okay, this is great. And all of a sudden, something happens. You go, whoa, God, oh, Lord, give me your peace. I need your peace. Please help me with your peace. And that's why Paul starts to talk in here and says, this is the armor of God that you are to put on. This is a daily putting on of armor that we need to do. This is not something that you wait until you are going, you have to fight the battle. Armor is put on by a soldier before he goes to battle. You don't put it on in the middle of the battle. You go, guys, hold it, time out. Breastplate, got to get it on, forgot it, sorry. Doesn't work that way. They're ready. They're ready. They get up. They put on their armor. And they go out for the day. What we need to do is get up, put on our armor, and go out for the day. And part of that is recognizing the peace of God. Lord, I thank you today for the peace that you give me. In the midst of my day, the Lord, in the midst of this now, there is nothing that can come against me. That can come against me. Sometimes we hear things like this and we think, oh man, you know, it's tough because I'm feeling guilty that if I don't have peace, it's my fault, and I don't have the armor on, and it says I didn't do it right, and I blew it, and God's going to be mad at me, and everybody else is going to be mad at me, and all the rest of it. And so we get the self-condemnation thing going on. That's not what this is all about. When Paul said these are things for you to put on, he's simply saying to you, these are things that God has given to you. You need to learn how to use them and grow in their use for your life so that you can be strong, not only so that you can be strong for yourself, but you can be strong for the people around you. Because nothing God ever does is meant to just sort of come into you and stay there. God brings it into you so that you can share it out this way. That's the truths of God. They come in, they go out. They come in, they go out. They flow through you. They're not just for you. If you get a healing, it's not just for you. Mm-mm. It's for you to say, this is what God has done. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. God's done this in my life. And somebody else hears that and goes, really? Awesome. That's so cool. I need it too. And it gives them faith. It builds them up in their faith. If God works in your life, he does something in your life, it's not just for you to go, oh, I'm so glad I have this. It's for you to declare the goodness of God beyond it. So you put on this armor every day. You put on the peace of God every day, and you go forward. It is a gift from God. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Secondly, as we already talked about, it's a different kind of peace than the world offers. It's a strong, abiding, and it's unaffected by outward circumstances. This is the peace of God that works in your life. He comes along and he says to you, you don't have to be tossed around by the winds and waves and problems of this world. I come to you now and I've given you my peace, he says. It's not your peace, it's my peace. Jesus says it's his peace that he takes and he has inside of you. So it's a peace that's not like you can accomplish, that you can get all on your own. It's a peace that the Holy Spirit of God releases when you allow him to work in you and you get a hold of what he has for you and say, Lord, help me. And listen to me, we're going to blow it sometimes. I'm the number one guy when it comes to blowing it sometimes in so many ways. And I got to be reminding myself of these things. God, I need the armor on. I need the strength. I need the truth. I need the peace. I need righteousness. I need salvation. I need your sword, your word. I need it. Lord, I need that in my life, and I need it every day. And Father, I declare it on me, and I place it on me today so that I can be what you need me to be, because I need you. And when we do that, the Spirit of God that is within us says, that is good. And he releases that strength into us to help us. He works with our faith. God works with our faith. And when we use our faith with the armor of God or with the truths of God, he works with that in our lives, powerfully in our lives. Next one, please. You have to put it on. That's the have to you put it on part. You can't have peace without recognizing that you must put it on. It's this gift of God that he has for you. It's like the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is there for everybody in the world. It's there. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is there for everyone, but not everyone takes advantage of the gift. Therefore, not everyone can find salvation with God. But when we have found salvation with God, because we have received the gift of eternal life and salvation from him, he also says to us now, you've got other things that you can also receive, and this peace is one of them in your life. And when that peace of God starts to get into your life, you want to tell other people about it. And you will start to declare the goodness of God, and you will let them know that in your life you can have peace with God. So the gospel comes out of us because it is in us. In the things that we face. Fourth one, it needs to flow through you. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It's interesting that in some ways that the blessed are the peacemakers is there along with his image of spiritual warfare and armor. And again, it's one of those things that some people have difficulty reconciling, but it's not difficult to reconcile at all. Ignoring evil does not bring peace. It's as simple as that. Ignoring evil does not bring peace. Some of you know that because in your homes, you've tried to ignore evil in your homes. And it has not brought peace in your homes. It won't bring peace in your homes. Evil will not be overcome by ignoring it. Evil will not be overcome simply because you pretend it's not there. Peace comes when evil is overcome. Let me say that again. Peace comes when evil is overcome. So when you overcome evil, you bring peace, because evil wants to destroy peace. And so that is when blessed are the peacemakers. We are here to bring peace. That doesn't mean we're obnoxious, but it means that we're in a firm foundation, ready to do what needs to be done to bring peace. I will not move. You come against me with evil, I'm not going to just walk away so that there you have peace while everybody else and I don't. Because what you are doing and who you are saying and how you are acting is evil. I will not do that. Peace overcomes evil. And action against evil has to be taken. So when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's not saying, blessed are those who walk away from every confrontation. Blessed are those who walk away from everything every evil in the world. Blessed are those who ignore evil and pretend it doesn't exist. No, blessed are the peacemakers. That means that peace has to be made sometimes. It's not peace by walking away. It's making peace that has to happen. And evil has to be overcome in order to make peace. So it's something that it has to flow through us, the Spirit of God flowing through us with wisdom and strength and peace in our lives over what God can do and what God wants to accomplish in every way of our lives. This is the truth of God. This is the truth of God. So have your feet shod in the preparation or the readiness for the gospel of peace. Man, no matter what the enemy throws against me, go ahead, do your best. Because God is in me and gives me strength to overcome it. And whatever else comes against me, I'm in God's control. I'm in God's hands. I let God work in me and through me. I trust God every step of the way because God is for me. 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 Get a hold and understand the truth of God. Would you stand with me, please? I want to tell you a spiritual battle that was won. It was spoken, I was told, heard about this just before service. Diana Visser. I don't know where she is. She's been going through, her and her family going through a struggle that involved a difficult court case. And it looked at one point like the odds were stacked against them. And the last time they went to court, it was for her son, Russ, and Russ could not afford to have a lawyer anymore, so he represented himself in court. And there was this high-powered lawyer on the other side. It looks like the odds are stacked against them. The verdict came down this week with complete victory for Diana and Russ. A complete victory in the name of Jesus. The odds were stacked against them. Yet God says, I will fight the battle for you as long as you put the battle into my hands and trust me, and that you remain in peace in the midst of that battle, and you're not sliding and flopping around like a fish out of water because you don't know what to do. Stand, stand, and let that peace of God reign in you, because God is in control and God is for us. That's what God does. That's what he has. This morning we're going to partake of communion together. This is an excellent time for you to receive into your life the things that God has for you because of the promises of the communion of the new covenant that there is with Jesus Christ. That bread represents his body that was broken for you. That bread represents what he gave up so that you can have the peace of God inside of you. That represents the torture that he went through so that you could have life. He went through death so that you could have hope. He went through all of that so that you, in the midst of whatever battle you are in right now, can know that he overcame. Because not only did he die, he rose again on the third day, declaring victory over Satan and death and everything that Satan wanted to do against him. There was victory in Jesus Christ over it all. So when you partake this morning, we're going to invite you to do the normal sort of process where you come up and you pick up the elements, you take the bread, and eat the bread here and take the cup back to your seat. But as you take the bread, I want to invite you to do this morning. That if you are in the midst of a battle, whatever battle that may be, I want you to declare God's goodness and victory in that battle for your life now. Lord, I thank you that by the breaking or by the sacrifice of your body, there is victory for me. There is strength for me. There is hope for me in the midst of the battle. And I will not slide. I will not be loose-footed. I will be strong and I will believe in you this morning. Would you do that? As we partake together, we're going to pray. We're going to invite you to come. Just come on down and take the elements, partake of the bread here. As I said, take the cup back to your seats, and we'll take that together in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Oh, Lord, we thank you that in you there is victory, that in you there is strength, that in you there is hope, and there is peace, and there is joy, and there is life. I thank you, Lord, that you have defeated the enemy. He's defeated. And I thank you for that this morning. And as we partake of these elements today of communion that represent your body broken for us and your blood shed for us, that, Lord God, you will bring to us hope and the assurity of the life you have us today. We give to you our worries. We give to you our burdens. We give to you our battles. We give to you our fear this morning. And we ask that you bring peace to us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Would you come and partake of communion this morning? Scripture says that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That's a pretty incredible thing. That the Son of God, God himself, said to you and to me, "Because I love you so much, I will allow myself to feel this pain. To go through the pain of the nails in my hands and my feet, the thorns on my head, the pain of death, but not only that, the pain of carrying all of your sin upon his shoulders. All of it." That's why the scripture says there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he took it all on himself. And then he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is the new covenant for you." The new covenant. The new covenant means the new relationship, the new life, the new power. And part of the covenant relationship means that God says that I am going to give to you all of my promises will be fulfilled to you. I will be with you every step of the way. I will guide you. I will protect you. My peace is there for you. My strength is there for you. My power is there for you in your life right now. That's part of the covenant relationship. So whatever you need from God right now, whatever that is, thank him that he's paid the price for it. And let us drink together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing, powerful love for us. We have a hard time comprehending the depth of it. But Lord, we're so grateful for it. And I'm grateful this morning that, Lord, we can stand together and know that you love us and that you are for us And that, Lord, your word declares that your peace is in us and with us. I pray for the strength of God in our lives now, that you will go with us as we go forward this week. That, Lord, we will be people of peace. Situations won't cause us to slide around. People and situations won't rattle us. Anything that comes from the outside will not overcome us, because within us there is the peace of God. And let that peace of God, when the opportunity comes, Lord, let that peace of God give us the words to speak it into other people for their lives, so that they can come to know you as well. Give us wisdom, give us peace, and anoint us. Cause us to grow in you. And Lord, where we've failed and fallen and let fear and all those other things come into our lives, I come against now the lies of the enemy that would condemn for those things. And Lord, I declare your peace to overcome that, and the strength to move forward in you, to step up and say, I have God in me, and to know your peace and your power is there. Give us victory. Give us strength, and bless us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and we thank you for it. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week. There will be prayer teams here at the front if you'd like to pray this morning. We thank you for being here. Go in peace, and let God's hand be upon you today.